Praise the Lord. Praise the welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church.
Praise the Lord.
Good to have you today. Praise the Lord. We have a very special little ministry here. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we get lots of emails and voicemails and all kinds of good stuff, and some of the stuff that we get when people are brand new, they first start listening to us. Most of the guys, especially, when they first start listening to what we teach, they think, wait a minute, this guy has lost his mind. I don't know how many of them I've had tell me that. When I first started listening to you, I thought, this guy's crazy. So I'm going to listen to it a little more and get my notepad. And I had this happen so many times, it's just out of this world. I'm going to prove this guy's wrong. And lo and behold, when they get down into it, they prove the Word of God is true. And it means what it says, and it says what it means.
Amen.
When we were in, Des Moines? I believe it was Des Moines or somewhere up there. This guy, he's not quite as old as I am, but he's pretty senior. But anyway, he had trouble with both knees. I went over and talked to him. He said, I come to this healing school because I want to see how to get rid of my knee problem without surgery. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, do you have any boys? He said, I got four. I said, are you getting along with all of them? He said, yes. Well, three of them. One of them is a problem. I said, the one that's the problem is what's causing your knee problem. I said, did God give you a commandment? And in the commandment, he said, I command you to
love.
To do what?
Love.
He couldn't mean that. Did he mean that?
Yes.
I said, if you will go over there and love those boys and repent of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I haven't walked in love with all four of them. Now I ask you to forgive me for not walking in love with all my boys. And I thank you for repairing my knees in Jesus' name. So he said, that's all I got to do? I said, that's it. He said, don't you want to pray for me? I said, no, I don't even have to pray for you. I said, it's already done. It's already paid for. All you got to do is just get back in your love walk. And when you're back in your love walk, I said, your knee problem will go away. He said, Thurman, it couldn't be that simple. But God made it that simple, didn't he? So anyway, he goes on, and at the break, he goes and calls that one boy he wasn't getting along with. Talked to him a few minutes, and he comes back over there where I am, and he said, I'm telling you what, you serve a mean God. I said, okay. I do serve a mean God, but what do you mean by that? He said, he means what he says, and he says what he means. I said, so what'd you do? He said, I repented and went and called my son, told him I'm sorry, I love him. And he said, before I got the phone hung up, both knees had stopped hurting. And to this day, he's never had to have that. Isn't that amazing? If God told you to do something, and there's so many awesome, awesome promises in this book. First of all, I want to thank everybody that had anything to do with the children this year on the children's orphanage. We had a great time with all the kids, gave away thousands of gifts. I mean, those children were blessed beyond blessed, and some of you give money to help it, and there's many other people that sent money in to help, but we appreciate all those people that send money in to help all these children, because that's what it's all about. Christmas, I believe, is about children. And all the people that helped and did everything. We had all kinds of people help, wrap packages, and do all kinds of things for the kingdom of God. And that's what it's all about.
Amen.
But I want to say thank you to all of you. And I want to thank everybody that's prayed for Christy.
Amen.
You know, yesterday and day before yesterday, we had a couple of really good days. You know, she's just really going along good. I believe it was yesterday or day before yesterday that they released her, that she can now eat herself. You know, she can feed herself, and she can eat, and she can eat real. She can eat real food, and you know, and die and swallow it. You know, don't have to be ground up for her and everything, so she can chew it herself. So anyway, we've gone through quite a test with Christy, and I'm here to tell you that God put me in a place and gave me a healing ministry, and I've come out of the Southern Baptist Church. And when I started reading the Bible, and that's where I got in trouble. When I started reading the Bible, you know, instead of reading the Southern Baptist information, I was a member of the Southern Baptist, instead of reading their Sunday school information and teaching, which I did that for years, one day the Lord spoke to me audibly and said, "Son, I want you to lay down your Southern Baptist information, and I want you to start teaching just my word in your church." Well, I was going to a Southern Baptist church, had been for years. And I says, "Lord, if I start teaching the revelation you've given me, you're going to have to do some signs, miracles, and wonders or something, because those people will think I'm crazy. They think I lost my mind." He said, "You just do what I tell you, and I'll take care of the rest." I've come to realize over the years, God only asks you and me to do one thing. Do what he says. Whatever he says, do it.
Amen.
And so I will tell you one or two of the quick little stories. Whenever I started, when I told the pastor that I wanted to start a Bible study class, and he said, "Okay, no problem. Where are you going to get your information?" I said, "The Word of God. I'm not going to teach nothing except exactly what the Word of God says. And I'm going to try my best to teach people to believe it means what it says. And it'll work just like it says." So he made a statement from the pulpit that I was going to start this special Baptist church. And so I did. I started it, and some of the first... In fact, I will mention something to y'all just to kind of get a roundup of how things work. There was a young couple that came to my Bible study class, and their son and daughter, their children, went to that church. And so they came there one day, and they come to the church, and they listened to me teach the Word of God. They came to an older class, which I taught an older class, because their kids were grown and are married, or at least adults. So anyway, whenever they came there and I taught what I taught, they just listened, but didn't say anything. So after that day, whenever the teaching was over, and they went home, when I got home that afternoon after dinner, they were a new couple in the class, so I called them to see what they thought about the class. And when they got through, the wife, she told her husband, says, "Who was that you was on the phone with? You sure were on the phone with him for a long time. Who was it?" And he said, "It was that new Sunday school teacher we went to see today." And she said, "Well, what did he say?" And he told her, said, "You wouldn't believe it. You would not believe what this guy's been telling me the last hour." But is that what you said, something like that, Jerry?
Absolutely.
He thought he was a good Southern Baptist man, and he had never heard what I was teaching in that class, but he couldn't believe it. He literally at first thought I had lost my ever-loving mind. But he wasn't the only one. So as I talk about these things and teach people these principles, you know, I can remember when you teach people the truth, and all God's wanting you to do is learn how to walk in love. I know Jerry's wife. She's a really sweet lady. But there was times she said, I could tell you how to cow eat the cabbage. You know, she said, I could really get with you on things if you didn't do it the way I wanted to do it. And so she was really a sweet lady, and she started listening to me teach about love. And she started saying, you know, I can do that. I can do that. And when she began to walk in love with everybody all the time, she said it changed her life forever. Now, what did God say? I command you to do what?
Love.
Love one another. You know, we read that, but it don't soak in on us. But when it finally does sink in and you start seeing God do signs and miracles and wonders when you walk in love, it's amazing. And Jerry's wife, Camilla, it changed your life forever too, didn't it, Camilla? Yeah, isn't that something? I mean, these miracles and things, some of them like that, and of course, I'll tell you another one right quick. I really love this story. One of the ladies that come to that class, she had a big black mole on her breast right up here. And she had a gold necklace that come around it and it drug on that thing all the time. So one day she came in and she's messing with it, trying to get it out of the way. And I said, ma'am, is that thing bothering you, that mole bothering you? And she says, it certainly does. It's really, it bothers me all the time when I wear this gold necklace. She said, I love this necklace, so I love to wear it, but it sure is aggravating for this thing to rub on it all the time. I said, well, would you like for it to go away, the mole? She said, well, yeah, but I really don't think I'd like to go down and have surgery to have that removed. I said, well, how about Jesus? She said, so what about Jesus? I said, well, he's made us a whole lot of promises in his word that we can ask anything in his name. And I said, I want you to take Matthew 18:19, and I want you to turn over there and read and see what that says. So she turned over there to Matthew 18:19 and said, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it will be done for you by my Father, which is in heaven. I said, so what about that? She said, so what about that? I said, well, don't you believe that? She said, you don't really think that God meant we could just ask for anything, like take that mold off and he'd do it. I said, he absolutely will. She said, I never heard anybody say that. I said, I don't understand why. Do you? Why do we not teach God's word? I mean, it did say that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Or am I reading that wrong? Or did Matthew 18:19 say?
Absolutely.
What does it say, Kim?
Again, I tell you, there it is, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven.
Now see, this works around one thing, love. If you're not walking in love, if you think you're a hot dog, whether you're a boy or a girl, if you really think you're a hot dog, you can just get by with anything you want to or talk to anybody any way you want to. You won't never see God do no powerful thing. You're going to have to learn how to walk in love. He lives in the world of love. So anyway, I knew this lady was a pretty nice lady. And she did walk in love, but she just didn't believe these promises of God would work. I mean, did it say it would work?
Yes, it did.
So anyway, I told her, I said, you know, I looked up at that thing right there on her chest. And I said, tell you what, I'm going to agree with you in prayer that Jesus will take away that little mold and not even leave a mark or nothing. I asked him to do it, and I said, Lord, he said, ask anything and then pray and then thank me for everything. So I praise him and worship him and thanked him for taking off that mold. Do you think God likes for you to praise him?
Absolutely.
Absolutely he does. If you want to see him do something, just praise him.
That's right.
Worship him. Go to Psalm 148, 49, and 50. and read that, you'll see how many times he says to praise him. He loves praise.
Amen.
He loves to be praised. Is he worthy to be praised?
Amen.
After what he did for you and me on that cross, I'm telling you, he is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
And you want to worship him and praise him. So I told that lady, I said, now then, I'm going to ask him to take that off according to Matthew 18:19. And I said, he promised to do this. And I said, then we're going to praise him for doing it. She said, Mr. Scrivener, do you really think God's going to do that? I said, ma'am, if you don't believe, it won't work. I mean, you're calling God a liar. He's saying he promised to do that. And I said, if you don't believe he's going to do it, you're calling him a liar. And I said, I don't think the king likes to be called a liar. So she said, well, I don't mean to make that statement either. She said, so I'm going to say, okay, I believe he can do it. And I said, and you got to believe he will do it. And she said, okay, I believe it. So I reached up and just touched that little black mole where that chain was on her neck. And I said, I command you to come off in Jesus' name. I said, Lord, now thank you for taking that thing off. It's done in Jesus' name. I went back over and sat down in my seat. She said, well, what do you think is going to happen? I said, it's going to come off. She said, when? I said, that's the only thing he don't tell me. But I guarantee, it. Well, since we prayed and agreed, it will come off. So she agreed. The next Sunday, when she walked into church, she had that gold necklace on. And there was no black mold.
Wow.
It was gone.
Woo! Hallelujah.
When she come in, she sat down. And she said, I've been in church all of my life. And I've never seen such a thing as this in my life. I said, you're not walking in love. You're not walking in faith. You're not believing the promises of God. And so when you walk, if you just come to church just to see, just to be dressed up nice, I said, you probably won't never see a miracle. But she said, I have never seen anything like this in my life. I said, but just look, didn't we use the scripture? And she said, well, yes. I said, did we worship him and praise him for taking that off? She said, we did. And I said, and what did he do, young lady? She said, he took it off. I said, isn't that amazing that you ask God to do something? And he really does, Mike.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
That you can just ask him to do things and he'll do it.
Absolutely.
He's just looking for some faith and love.
Amen.
But you know you got to walk in love. That's the secret. Walking in love. You got to treat everybody the same. You got to walk in love if you want to see God. If you really want to see God do some wonderful things, just think, when I stop and think about Jesus and what he has done, and I think about how much of the time I don't praise him, but I try to praise him for everything, and I thank him for everything, but still, sometimes I do things or whatever, and I don't say thank you. Have you ever done anything, or Jesus done anything for you, or have you just praised him and thanked him that you're well?
Amen.
You know, that you have a hand that works. Mine's a little shaky right now, but that's okay.
Amen.
By his stripes, I'm still healed, so it don't make no difference what I see.
Amen.
I know that the day's coming when he's going to stop this shakiness in my body. And he's going to make my hands and everything completely solid and well. And I know that it's going to happen because it's written in the Word of God.
Amen.
I just don't know when it's going to happen. It doesn't make any difference. But I praise him, and sometimes I just get out here and walk around in the daytime just to get a little exercise. And I just praise him for everything. You need to praise him. In fact, a man was talking to me this last week. And he brought up the statement about the man we were talking about a few weeks ago. There's two men that I know on this earth right now that's alive and well. And you may have seen them. They have absolutely nothing but a body. They have no arms, no legs, no feet, no hands, just a body. Has anybody ever seen those guys?
Yes.
So you know I'm telling you the truth. This gentleman I was talking to, he said, every once in a while I'll raise my hand up to do something, and I'll look at that hand and I'll think, it works. I can reach over. He said, I need to scratch behind my ear. He said, I can do that. He said, Thurman, these two men cannot do that. Just think, if you had nothing but a body, stop and think, how would that change your life? If you had nothing but a body, I mean, there's nobody to help you. What if you fall off the table? What if you roll off the bed? What if something happened and your body starts rolling? You don't even have an arm to reach over and stop yourself. Can you imagine? In fact, when my granddaughter was technically killed in that car wreck 20 years ago, whatever it was, after I brought her home, after I stood on God's word and I brought that little girl home, I was over in the house teaching her how to walk because she could not do anything for herself. When I brought her home, she was totally a vegetable. Couldn't feed herself, couldn't eat, couldn't swallow, nothing. I brought her home and I was teaching her. I was commanding her legs to be strong. I was taking the word of God. She was totally blind, couldn't see a single thing. No, I mean totally blind. And we were over to the house and she would go up the stairs. She'd get up to the stairs and then she'd turn around and sit down on the stairs and bounce her little bottom down to the bottom because she's just doing something for entertainment. And I'm there watching her, of course, because she don't know what to do. Tim walked in, my son, and he watches me play with her a little while. She climbs up the top of those stairs and bounces down to the bottom, stands up and reaches around for the rungs on the stairs and starts back up. Tim says, Daddy, when she does that, I close my eyes. And I think, what if I couldn't open them again? She said, Daddy, I can't imagine having to live my life not being able to see. I said, don't worry, son. She's going to see again because we have the Word of God. I said, God promises in the new covenant he comes to open the eyes of the blind, give sight to the blind. I said, all we got to do is worship him and praise him and thank him until it happens. I said, but I guarantee you one day, Caitlin will see again.
Amen.
So I took her over to the Baptist church, brand new Baptist church, the one they got up there now in town. I went to that church for a long time. But anyway, the church is brand new. I told the youth minister, we didn't have a pastor at that time. The pastor, we were looking for a pastor, but the youth minister was all we had, and he was leading the services and stuff. So I told him, I said, today when church is over, I want you to make an announcement. I want you to ask anybody that will, that'll believe that God can open Caitlin's eyes. I want them to come into the new sanctuary this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And I want us to pray until we feel like we've broken through and so she can get her eyesight back. He said, okay, I'll do it. But he forgot it. It's not something that you do in a Southern Baptist church very often. Is asked for prayer for eyes to be opened. So it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. And after it was over, I walked up to him and I said, son, you forgot something. He said, oh my gosh, you're right, I did. So I run in there, and it was still quite a few people there, probably 200 or 300, I guess, still there. I said, I want to ask anybody that'll come to the church this afternoon and pray with us to believe that God's going to open Caitlin's eyes where she can see. I want you to come and be a part of the prayer meeting. That afternoon, there was about 25 or 30 people from the church, and I had about 10 of my own friends that showed up, 35, 40 people, whatever it was. And we prayed. I'll never forget that day in that brand new Baptist church. We had this sanctuary in the middle where they could play basketball. So we took all the chairs out of the middle, and we all got in a big round circle in that church, about 25 to 35. And everybody prayed. Everybody that was there, that they prayed a prayer. Some of them didn't pray very long. Some of them prayed a little while. But we all prayed until we had all prayed a prayer, asking God, thanking Him for His mercy, His grace, His promises, thanking Him for opening her little eyes where she could see again. We praised Him. We worshiped Him. I know that worship and praise is the part He likes more than anything. So we worshiped and praised the Lord, and we believed. Now just think, 25 or 30 people out of 400 or 350 or whatever it was, they came to that meeting, and then the 10 people that I took, and we prayed and thanked the Lord and asked Him to do a great and mighty work on restoring Caitlin's eyes. After about 2 hours of praying, I finally said, okay, we've been around the circle one time. I said, I believe it's done. The Lord has heard our prayer, and He knows what we're asking for, and I believe He will do what He promised. So we left. About 6 weeks later, 4, 5, 6 weeks later, I was right over there in the house, upstairs on the second floor, playing with Caitlin, my granddaughter. And we had some little toys there that are little, whatever you want to call them, that, like a little round thing with a point on top of them, and you got little round donuts that you put on top of these things. Some of you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, we're sitting there, and I reach up and get something, and I go to put it on that deal, and I drop it, and it rolls off over there to the side a little ways. And as it rolls off, I see her, as it stops and turns over, she reaches over, and she puts her hand right on that donut, picks it up, and put it right on that little pointed thing. And I says, Caitlin, I said, honey. I thought to myself, she could not have done that if she hadn't seen that.
Right.
I mean, when I close my eyes, I can't see if that donut's rolling here or there. I can't see it. But she reached over, picked it up, and put it right on the top. I said, she had to see that. So I picked that thing up and I took the red one off and I laid it over here to the side and I rolled it over there toward where she was. And I said, honey, get the red donut and put it on the stand. She just reached right over there and she put her hand right on that thing. She picked that thing up. It's praising time.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll never forget that day.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. It's time to praise the King. Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
Glory, glory,
glory. If there's anybody in here can praise the King, let's hear you praise the King. He's worthy of our praise. Lord, we thank you.
Thank you.
We praise you for opening Caitlin's eyes. And she can see.
Yes.
I thank you.
Praise you, Father.
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Your goodness and your mercy endure forever. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise for the blood of Jesus.
Thank you. You are the mighty God, the precious King.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We celebrate this, your birth.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. That we can enjoy the benefits of the promises of God. Lord, I thank you.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the God of gods, and you're our Lord. Lord, open our hearts and open our understanding to the truth of your mighty word. Lord, thank you for opening your word to us. That we can see you. We know you. We know you really do these wonderful things for people. I thank you for all the people that I've had the privilege to pray for and see you heal them and deliver them and set them and their children free. Lord, I'm so, so grateful to see you do the wonderful things that only you can do. You are a mighty God. This is a mighty King, the King of kings. Lord, what a privilege it's been to love you and to serve you and stand on your word. And thank you, Lord, that your word declares that by your stripes I was healed. If I was, I am. So, Lord, thank you that I'm healed. Thank you that the manifestation of my complete restoration is coming. I know it's coming. I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know what you're doing, but, Lord, it's okay with me. I will love you and praise you whatever. Even like Job said, even though you slay me, if you slay me or kill me, I don't care, Lord. It makes no difference. I'm going to serve you. You are the King. And I praise you and I thank you and I worship you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you have done. You are a mighty God. I'm like Paul. I wish all of you could know him like I know him. All the people out there that don't have a clue who God is, even those that make fun of him. Lord, thank you for being merciful to all of them and loving them all. Lord, we are so grateful. I thank you and I praise you and I worship you, Lord. You are the King. You are my King. You are my God. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. You're everything, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for being the King. Wow. Just think, a simple little thing, like a little mole on a lady's neck, we pray and ask him to take it off, remit sins, and that by the next week the thing is gone.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I am so grateful, Lord. Wow. What a God. He is worthy to be praised. I mean, he is worthy to be praised. If you want to see him do wonderful things, all you got to do is walk in love and know the word. That's all it takes. You got to walk in love and know the word. If you come to him on behalf of those, he'll do awesome things. Wow. I had the privilege to see God do lots of awesome things. In fact, in that Sunday school class that Jerry and Camilla back there were in, I don't even have any idea in the years that I was in that Baptist church that they came to my class. And I couldn't even begin to tell you, and they probably couldn't either, how many answers to prayer or miracles or healings or whatever. Y'all got to see a lot of them yourselves, didn't you, Jerry?
Yes, sir. We were in your class for 9 years, sir.
9 years?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
It was like you were out on the edge of your seat, and it was just exciting.
Wow.
And Thurman would teach a lesson, and he would intersect this situation that he had encountered that week at the testimony. And when he came to the end of class, you say, "My goodness, you mean this is already over? It seems like we just got started." And then week after week after week after week, and it was exciting.
All we're trying to do here is to produce fruit for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
We should be producing fruit for the kingdom. Jerry says there, I know some of y'all couldn't hear, especially if you wasn't on the mic, that for 9 years they come to my Sunday school class, and every Sunday when they come in, we had some kind of a testimony or a miracle or a healing or whatever. And we would share those things, and it would inspire and empower them to go out and totally change your way of thinking, didn't it, Jerry?
Listen, without you, Thurman, we'd still be going to that church that we went to for 30 years, and we wouldn't know anything. We had never heard anything like you can teach, never in our life, and we were raised in church.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All I can do is challenge each one of y'all to pick up the wand and run with it. Make sure you walk in love with everybody.
Amen.
And then do something for Jesus.
Amen.
Read His Word and do something for Jesus. Is that what we're supposed to be doing?
Amen.
We're supposed to be doing something for Jesus. We're supposed to be producing fruit for the kingdom. I want to read just a little bit here. I know this is Christmas, but really, this is not the Master's birthday.
No.
It was another time, but that's okay. It don't make any difference. He's still the Master.
Amen.
Doesn't make any difference when he was born. He was born. That's the beautiful part.
Amen.
And then the other part is he died again and then rose from the dead the third day. That's a fact.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But I want to show you. We're going to read. Dave's going to read something for me. Now I want to read in the King James Bible. I want Dave to read Psalm 91. And I want you to listen. He'll read about three verses and then he'll stop. And we're going to talk about it just a little bit. Okay, Dave, read Psalm 91, the first three verses.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
Okay, just stop and think about what he just read. As you look at that and you think about what Dave read, if you dwell in the secret place, and let me tell you what, I don't know anything, virtually nothing about football, but I think the Cowboys are playing football today. Is that right? If you want to see God do miracles, I would suggest you go to church today instead of the football game.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
In other words, if you want to see God do some mighty, great and mighty miracles, I don't think going down there to the football game is going to get that done.
Oh, no.
You need to be praising the King and putting him first, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I do.
And in fact, in that verse 3, read verse 3 one more time. Listen, or look at it as Dave reads verse 3.
Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
Now, if you really put God first, in other words, you're walking in love, you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. That's in His Word. You're dwelling in His Word. I mean, you're reading His Word. You're dwelling in His Word. If you're dwelling in His Word, then you can pray and you can ask Him for things and He'll do it, and you'll get to see Him do great and mighty things. But if you believe that one time when I was in the Baptist church, I don't remember which one, I know there was something they called the Super Bowl, and the Cowboys were going to be in that Super Bowl playoff or something, and we canceled church because church happened at the same time the football game did.
Oh, no.
You want to know why we don't ever see any miracles? I can tell you. I couldn't believe, I absolutely couldn't believe that we were going to do that. It blew me away. I said, I can't believe we're going to cancel church for a football game.
Wow.
But we did. Everybody wanted to see the football game. Nobody wanted to come to church. Wow. But you want to know why there's no miracles happening there? We weren't putting Him first. We weren't dwelling in the secret place. If we were saying of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my strength, and He is my God, and Him do I trust. You know, in other words, the other day, a while back, Cheryl and I was in Baltimore. We got in an elevator with six or eight boys. Boy, you talk about a fine-looking specimen of young men. I mean, they were good-looking boys, about 6 foot six, maybe a little taller than that, even 6 foot eight. They were big boys. I thought, that must be some kind of special ball team or something. And me and Cheryl get in the elevator with them. We're going down, and I said, wow. I said, you guys are looking like you could really do something for the kingdom of God. I said, wow, what potential we have here. I said, do any of you boys know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Nobody said a word.
Wow.
Not one boy said a word.
Wow.
We get to the bottom of the steel, and nobody said a word. And the elevator door started to open. I said, well, I guess I was wrong. I said, all I can see in here now is a bunch of wimps. I said, I thought you boys were some potential, could do some great things for the kingdom, but I guess you're just a bunch of wimps. So I said, you boys have a good day. I turned to walk out, and about three of them said, God bless you, sir. I thought, how about that? I mean, there is some kingdom, but those boys, I don't know. If they're going to be good at what they do, who do they need to put first in their life?
Jesus.
You ain't joking. Need to put Jesus in their life first.
Amen.
And if you will, the Lord says He will protect you from the snare of the fowler, the devil. In other words, if the devil's going to come get you and Jesus is there to run him off, you don't have nothing to worry about. But if you're going to the ball games all the time, or like those boys up there, I'm sure they went to a ball game. And they were not putting God first. Okay, Dave, read on a little more in that Psalm 91.
He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday.
Keep reading.
Okay. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Wow. Stop and think about that a second. The thousands. If you're in a battle, in a war, the enemy can't even get to you because you're walking in obedience to God's word. You have nothing. It says 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. but it shall not come near you.
That's right.
How in the world could God protect you in that herd? But he can.
Yes, he can.
While my brother-in-law was alive, he made a statement one time that when he was in the war, in World War II, he said there was a lot of men that didn't talk about Jesus till the D-Day came, or that day, whatever that day, Normandy Beach day. He said when they stepped off of those machines, those boats and stuff that was taking them up to the bank, and they lowered those doors, he said some of those men dissolved or were destroyed right in your presence. They were blowed all to pieces. Can you imagine getting off of a boat and the 50 caliber machine guns just blow everything, just destroy everything, and people die all around you? Let me tell you what. There may be people that say they don't believe in God, but you put them in a place like that, they'll believe.
Amen.
They'll cry out to somebody, and they hope it's God. But you know what he says? If you don't do what I say, he said, I will laugh at you. The Proverbs chapter 2, we was going to read. He said there, you know, that if you don't put me first, if you don't look to me for advice, he said, when you do cry out for me, whenever your world falls apart, I will not hear your cry. He wants you to worship him and praise him, doesn't he? And I don't have to go through something like that to worship him and praise him. I've seen him do these mighty things. I know a little bit of what the king can do. And I know that he's a mighty God, and he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I just love to see him do the wonderful things for people. And I love to pray. And that's something that I think about as Cheryl and I, as we pray for people. And we do it every night still. Even though she's in Colorado with her daughter, and I'm here, before we sign off at goodnight with each other, we answer every prayer request that comes into this ministry, me and her. Every prayer request that comes in gets answered. We don't let nobody go unanswered. But it don't matter what time it is or whatever, we're still going to answer your prayer. If you write us, we will pray. And we will ask the Lord to do something great for you. And somebody says, that takes a lot of time. Yeah, it does. But here's the thing. If me and Cheryl's answering those prayer requests for people that we don't even know, it's getting to where some of them I'm getting to where I know them now because they call back in so often. They find out they get their prayer answered when you come here. Hey, next time you got a little request, you can run over here and look up the Living Savior Ministries and write them an email and say, I've got this, I need this, or I need this. Will you pray for me? And we say yes, and we do every time. And, of course, sometimes some of the questions, I got tickled at this one boy. He said, I found your ministry and started talking to you and started getting my prayers answered. And he said, it's amazing how many prayers that I get answered. He said, I'm so glad you're still here with us, you know, so that we can have your resources to tap so we can get our prayers answered while you're still here. Cheryl laughed. She said, I wonder what he thinks you're going. I said, well, I don't know, but I know he knows I'm getting older, and one of these days I'm going on to be with Jesus, so he better get in there and get what he can while he's there. Is that true? Are we all going on to be with Jesus? You know, if you believe what some people call, and they don't make it ever, somebody's 90 years old or 95 or 100, they still want to pray for healing. Hey, that might not be the best thing for that person. Praying for healing might not be what they need. Going home might be what they want or what they need. In fact, a gentleman prayed the other day with me. A lady, a man that he'd met, his wife was very sickly. And so he told me about it, and I said, well, how old is she? And she was way on up there. And I said, well, do you think she would want to go home to be with the Lord? And he said, that's what her request was. She wants to die. And I said, well, why don't you and me agree in prayer? He said, okay, we will. So we agreed in prayer. And about 2 days later, he came back to see me and said, that woman passed away the next day after we prayed. I mean, why not go? Had you rather be with Jesus? I mean, instead of being all sickly and wore out and can't do nothing and trying to drag through the mud, you know, and you'd rather just die and go home and be with Jesus? I don't know about you, but I had. I know he's on the other side, and I know he's real, so I don't sweat crossing through the valley of the shadow of death. That don't bother me at all. Does that bother you? No, it don't bother me at all. If you know Jesus, when a loved one dies, if they're like mine was, my whole family, they all knew Jesus. And so whenever the car wreck happened, and my wife and daughter and granddaughter actually, my wife and daughter were instantly killed. I just praise the Lord because I know their life is over, but I know where they are.
Amen.
And I know they're both in heaven with Jesus. And I told a lot of people, I said, you know, my wife and my daughter both love diamonds. Of course, the wife God should give me now, sure, she loves diamonds too. I never met a woman that don't like diamonds. But I said I could give them very little diamonds because I never made a lot of money, but I had enough to get by and get by good. But I said they always love diamonds. And I said, the way I read things, some of the foundations up there where they're at are made out of diamonds. So I said, with all the other stones and the beauty of all of it, I can see them now. I said, well, don't you miss your husband Thurman? They said, Thurman who? No, I don't miss him at all. Look at these diamonds. Look at Jesus. I'm going to tell you that when my sister walked into mother while she was still alive and told my mother, said, Mother, the Lord has showed me that I don't have long to live. I'm going to come home. And my mother said, oh, Gail, you know, I'm old and you're young. You're only 20 or 21 years old, whatever. You know that you'll bury me, I won't bury you. And she said, no, Mother, the Lord showed me that I don't have long to live. That he's coming to get me. And so my mother kind of snuffed that off. But a few days later, my sister was killed in a car wreck. Now, I was in upstate Illinois and in the Air Force, and I had a dream that night that I couldn't see who it was, but as I go up and look in the casket, as I look, there's a hand over the face. Everywhere I went, that hand was in front of the face. And I could never tell who it was. And then the dream went away. So the next morning, I called my mother. I said, Mother, as soon as I got out of breakfast and class, first class, I called Mother. I said, Mother, is everybody at home okay? She said, yes, everybody's fine. She said, something wrong with you? I said, no, I'm okay. She said, no, there's something wrong. I said, well, okay. I just wanted to double check, make sure everybody's okay. She said, we're fine, Thurman, we're fine. I said, okay. I knew God was trying to show me something. I didn't know what it was. But that night, my sister was killed in a car wreck with one of her best friends. A carload of drunks coming up a hill, passing a truck on a hill. And the sign, the stripes and everything are saying, no passing. But they passed anyway because they're drunk and they're trying to antagonize this truck driver. Truck drivers, you know, they need all the speed they can get up a hill, so this car is going around them, getting in front of them, slowing down real slow, so they have trouble getting up the hill. Well, when they got over the hill, and the next hill, when they started down, well, this car started to pass, and the truck, he's trying to go as fast as he can, but they're not going to about 40 miles an hour. But anyway, as the car tries to pass, over the hill comes my sister and this other girl, and when they see them, they pull over to the right side of the road, and these people here, as they see them, they pull over to the left side of the road. They hit headlights to headlights at 50 miles an hour. Killed both of them. Killed both of them. One of the couples in the car got a broken ankle, and that's the only damage because they were all drunk. but my sister and her friend were both killed. Now then, it was amazing that she got killed just like she told Mother. The mother agonized over that death. She hated that she lost her baby daughter. And finally, one morning I was out there, I went out to do something, and Mother, she told me, said, "Thurman, I won't never worry about Gail again." I said, "Why, Mom? What happened?" She said, "Last night, Gail walked into my bedroom. I heard the door open. I looked up, and there stood Gail at the edge of my bed." And she said, "Mother, will you please stop worrying about me? Jesus is taking such good care of me. Don't worry about me anymore, Mom." And so she said, I said, "Yes, Gail, I won't worry about you anymore." And so she said, my daughter turned around, walked over to the door, opened the door, gave me a little wave, and walked out the door. And she said, I've never heard from her since. And of course, she never did hear from her again. But just think, if you love God and you're doing what God says, He will send something to comfort you. He knows what it takes, and He knows my mother was in agony over losing a daughter. I mean, my sister was only like 21 years old when she died. She got killed in that car wreck. But Mother, she could not be at peace for that whole deal until the Lord sent Gail back. Now, he sent a dream to show you where we need to, that dream He sent me when I was in the service. That dream He sent me, He's trying to warn me to pray. Whenever you see somebody in a casket, in a coffin, and there's a burial fixing to go on, you need to learn to pray. And if you pray, God can do something. If you don't pray, He can't. Well, I didn't know enough. Unfortunately, the church I had been raised up in did not teach us how to pray. I mean, we never prayed. I never prayed. When I was a boy in high school, I mean, I went to Sunday school every Sunday because mother and dad made sure we went to church. But I didn't learn nothing. You know, I didn't. Nobody told me how important the Word of God is. Nobody ever told me that this book is an owner's manual for life. Nobody ever told me that. I didn't realize how real life and death is. But I have now learned, 80 years later, I have learned that a lot of things, this book is an owner's manual for life, and He will answer your prayer, and He can stop things from happening if you'll only pray and believe. You know that. Okay, Dave, read on a little further.
"Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation, there shall no evil befall Thee, neither shall any plague come nigh Thy dwelling."
Okay, stop. Think about that now. Think about what he just read. If you put God first, if you put Him first, what did He say will happen to you? No evil. How much evil?
No!
No evil will come upon you. It will not. If you only put God first. Now, if we really believe this book means what it says, and no evil would ever befall us, we ought to be engulfed in this book. We ought to be doing what this book says instead of what the world says, right?
Right.
Instead of watching the certain wild shoot-em-up movies on TV or something, you need to be watching somebody that's Christian something. You need to be standing on His Word, walking in love, doing what He says. If you want to walk for that, I mean, I don't know about you, but that read those same two or three verses one more time, Dave.
Go back to 9. "Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation, there shall no evil befall Thee, neither shall any plague come nigh Thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge concerning you to keep you in all your ways."
Does that sound like a good place to live?
Absolutely.
So what do we got to do that? We got to put God first. Is that what they're trying to say?
Yes.
If you put God first, no evil will befall you. evil. I don't even like to think about evil coming up on me. I like those scriptures like in John, 1 John 5:18. My true children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil. And therefore the evil one, which is Satan, cannot touch you. Now, that would make it all worthwhile right there, right?
Right.
Wow. Okay, read on a little more, Dave.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
It doesn't make any difference what kind of evil critter is going to come after you. If you put God first, what can he do? You're going to trample on him. You're going to walk on him.
Amen.
All you got to do is put God first. And then he gives you that dominion and power and authority that Dave was talking about a while ago when Jesus said it's finished. He give you back all the dominion and authority that you ever had. It's all there again. It's yours. All you got to do is believe it. You got to believe it. If you don't believe it, it won't work. You got to believe it. Okay, read on.
Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
Just think, with long life. You know, it's amazing. Well, what that is and how we interpret that, with long life. What is long life? I don't know. It's, I guess the answer is, it depends upon each individual person. A long life to one person might be 50. The next person, a long life might be 500. So who knows? But with long life, will he satisfy you? Ain't that something? This is the wonderful time that we celebrate the love of God in his Son coming to this earth and all the things. And one thing there in Luke chapter 2, he talks about the angels or the beings that come into the area there and told them about this Messiah that was going to be born. Just think, somebody from somewhere besides human beings, because these guys were flying in the sky, is that right?
Yes.
These angels were in the, weren't they flying?
Yes, they were.
So I've had lots of people ask me, do you think there's other creatures out there besides us? And right there in the Bible, it shows you that there's creatures, beings that are besides us and that they are here. And they're alive and well. And they are alive and well. And I just stand in awe to think that these creatures, they're here. And sometimes you can see them and sometimes you can't. I have seen angels before. I've had several times, several experiences in my life. I've had them talk to me. Say words to me. And you say, well, how do you know they were an angel? Because after the third week, the third angel that spoke to me, and each one of them said the same thing, after that third one finally said his piece, and he walked around the corner. I thought, well, I'm going to find out who these guys are. So I ran to the corner and looked, turned left and looked, and I could see completely to the end of that corridor. And there was no doors, no, only walls. From here to where it made that turn, as far as from here to the end of the back of the church. And there was nobody there. Nobody. Nobody could have run that length of that thing in one step. But those were angels. And this is what they told me. All three of them, after I'd been praying over these children at Cook's Medical Center and seeing God heal these children. And I had seen all these children over a four-week period. I saw all nine of those children recovering. Some of them are completely out of the hospital in a week or two. But as I saw that, I'm walking down that corridor at 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning going home to get some sleep. And this being would walk up beside me and start walking the same speed I was, and I'd turn to look to see who it was. And every time when I turned to look, he'd be looking me right in the eye. And he would say, "The Lord said to tell you he loves you." Wow. The Lord said to tell you he loves you. I must have been pleasing him. Isn't that true? Do you want to hear? Is that what you want to hear?
Yes.
That's what I want to hear, Lord. I want to hear you say you love me. I know in the word you said you love me, but Lord, it sure is wonderful to actually hear a being speak that and say, "Lord, the Lord says to tell you he loves you." Ain't that something? Wow. Praise God. What time is it?
4:15.
Well, we're going to take communion? Okay, we're going to take communion. Is everybody, you're welcome to take communion with us. This is not the first day of the month, but it doesn't make any difference. We're going to take communion because it's Christmas.
Amen.
And the Lord said in his word, as often as you do this, right?
Remember somebody.
So we don't have a problem. As often as you do it, we could take it 5 times a day if we wanted to, or 10 times a day, wouldn't we? You know, because it is to remind us that he's already bore our sickness and removed our disease. So by his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
Is that true?
We
are true. By his stripes, I am healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for the bread. Thank you for the juice. Thank you for the new covenant we have. We are so grateful, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. Thank you, Jesus. Do we love Jesus? Yes, we love Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for bearing our pain, bearing our sickness. Thank you for healing Christy, Lord. Thank you for restoring that girl from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And thank you, Lord, that Christy loves mashed potatoes and she was able to eat 2 helpings by herself. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping her eat those mashed potatoes. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us all. We are so grateful for all the food and everything you bless us with. We ask you to bless all the food that we'll eat this week. Bless it abundantly. And we give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving for everything, Lord. You are the King. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. When you read the scriptures, you find out lots of good things, don't you? Lots of good things. And all those promises are ours. They belong to us. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. The children had a really good Christmas. Christ Haven for children. I think of all those kids. Wow. That's something else that's very touchy. Those kids at Christ Haven, the homes they come out of. Wow, how sad that is. How sad. Thank you, Jesus. Are we about got it?
We are ready.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the bread. That's a symbol of your body. That just by your stripes, we are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And the blood of the new covenant. The most powerful thing in the universe, in Jesus' name, the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all these wonderful things. Okay, I want all my prayer warriors to stand up. If you need to be prayed for, find one of these prayer warriors that are standing, and they will get with you, and they will find out what your situation is, and they'll show you how to get rid of your sin and pray the prayer of faith for you. And if you have any kind of need, come to one of these prayer warriors that's standing, or to me, and I'll meet with you. If you need any of the CDs and DVDs, if you happen to be new and don't know, they're all free. Take as many as you want. Take a sack, get you a sack full. Give them, hand them out to people, because we send them out free and postpaid. And if you get a bunch and give them out to somebody, that means we don't have to send the postage. That's getting kind of expensive anyway, but we know the Lord, He has plenty of money, so He takes care of everything every week. So we're so grateful for that. So, okay, so if you want to give a donation to the ministers, there's a gray box over there on the wall. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Have a great Christmas, and may Jesus bless you in this Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, you are dismissed. Praise the Lord.